The First Testament reading may be found on page 14 of the Old Testament in your pew Bible, should you care to follow along. Genesis chapter 18, verses 16 through 33. Then the men set out from there, and they looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to set them on their way. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, seeing that Abraham shall become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? No, for I have chosen him, that he may charge his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city, will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not judge all the earth to do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for a lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 here, there." Again he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose there 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. The word of the Lord.
Our New Testament lesson is probably one of the most familiar stories in all of the scriptures. It comes out of the 10th chapter of Luke. It is what we refer to as the Good Samaritan story. So let us listen. It's verses 25 through 37. Then turning to the disciples, Jesus said to them privately, Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What's written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, the religious lawyer asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side." So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend." Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The religious lawyer said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The word of the Lord. So they were about the first things that our daughter's fiance Brendan saw when he went to his new job at the Parks Department in Tacoma, Washington. He went into the building, and there were these seedlings in sort of cans, and they looked like Charlie Brown Christmas trees on life support. They were withered and dying and just looked awful. And the thing you need to know about Brendan is that he loves trees. He knows everything about trees. He just loves them. And so as he walked in, and it was his first day, he was faced with three options dealing with those trees. The first option was that he could simply ignore them. I mean, after all, it was his first day, and he didn't want to get off on the right foot by asking people why they hadn't taken care of the trees or anything like this, and so he could have just ignored them. The second thing he could do would be to assume it's somebody else's job to take care of the trees. After all, it wasn't on his job description. He knew what his job was. It was working with big volunteer groups. It was working with invasive species in the parks. And nowhere on there was taking care of seedlings in the nursery on his job description. So he could assume somebody else's job. Or he could choose to show mercy. Now I realize that using that language of mercy might seem odd when we're talking about trees. But mercy in the biblical sense is a fairly straightforward concept. It means taking something that is dying and giving it life. Taking something that is withering and helping it to flourish. Taking something that has been condemned and help it to be forgiven. That's essentially what mercy is. It is that simple, to find something that's withering like the tree and to help it flourish again. And so those were his three options. Now I tell you about those three options this morning because they're the same three options that were faced by both of the protagonists in our stories this morning. Abraham and the main character in Jesus' story that we call the Good Samaritan. They each were faced with those three options. So let's jump back to the Abraham story. Now, Abraham's just been hanging with God, according to the story. God has shown up, and Abraham and God and some other people seem to be sort of hanging out. And the question comes to God, are you going to tell Abraham about what you're going to do to Sodom? Now, Sodom was a city that mistreated strangers, that abused the weak and the poor. It was just a really horrific kind of place. And God needed to deal with it. And so the question was, was God going to tell Abraham about it? And so God does. God says, listen, I'm going to go down and check these people out and see if all the stories are really true about what's happening there. And Abraham knew what was going on there. He knew the kind of place that it was, and he knew the punishment that it deserved. It needed to be excised just like a tumor, a cancerous tumor. It needed to be dealt with because it was infecting everyone around it. And so, knowing that, Abraham had those three options. He could just ignore it. Whatever God's going to do, you know, God's going to do. I have no dog in this hunt. I don't care. Or he could assume it was somebody else's job to intervene on behalf of the city of Sodom. Maybe it was these other guys that had been hanging out with God. Maybe it was the angels in heaven. Maybe, surely it was somebody out there, but maybe it wasn't Abraham's job. Or Abraham could decide to show mercy and intervene on behalf of the city. Okay. So now let's jump to the Good Samaritan story. As Jesus tells this story, because the question before Jesus was, who is my neighbor? You know, is my neighbor just the person who lives next door, the person who looks like me, the person that I know real well? Who's my neighbor? So Jesus tells this wonderful story about the Good Samaritan, that a man, we don't know anything about him, a man is on the way from Jerusalem to Jericho, and having been down that road, it's obvious why that's a dangerous road. Lots of places for robbers to hide. People were attacked on a regular basis, so this man was really risking everything to take this road to begin with. He's attacked, robbed, beaten, left for dead. Okay. So now, we know the story. A priest comes along, walks on the other side. A Levite comes along, walks on the other side. They both chose option number one, to ignore the man. And so the Samaritan comes upon this man. And again, he has three options. He can ignore the man, just like the priest and the Levite did, just walk on by. Or he can decide, well, this is Jewish territory. I'm a Samaritan. Jews are my enemies. Surely some Jewish person will come along and care for this. It is their responsibility and not mine. Or he could choose to show mercy and do something for this man. So, three options. And what's interesting is that in each of these stories, mercy is the choice. Brendan, of course, being Brendan and loving trees, goes back on his own time, takes the trees, waters them, nourishes them, nurtures them, and then eventually plants them out in the parks so that instead of dying in the little cans, they can flourish. Abraham does, and I don't know how you all feel about this story, but I've known this story a long time, but it's still a fascinating story. Abraham, really having no real connection or an extensive connection to the city of Sodom, decides he's going to negotiate with God. He's going to show mercy by asking God to show mercy. Hey, God, listen, if there are 50 people, 50 righteous people, are you going to let them go? 40, 30, 10? And so he's willing to risk everything negotiating with God in order that God show mercy. And then the Good Samaritan. And I have to say, I'm always fascinated why we call him the Good Samaritan. Good's never used in this story. Instead, when the Samaritan does all of these things for this man who's been beaten and robbed, he binds the wounds, he puts him on his animal, he takes him to a motel, pays the bill, says, I'll be back, I'll pay any expenses. And then when Jesus says, who was a neighbor, the lawyer says, the one who showed mercy. And so maybe this should be the merciful Samaritan. But I think sometimes being good is easier than being merciful. Sometimes merciful is more difficult. But they each choose mercy. And for Abraham, I believe Abraham chooses mercy because he has learned something about God. He has learned that God is a merciful God. God had been merciful to him in the past. And in this exchange, in this negotiation, he discovers even further that God is merciful. God says, listen, I will spare all of those who are guilty if they're just 10 innocent people. God is willing to be merciful. And so Abraham discovers this about God. And in essence also passes the test. Because the test for Abraham was, what had he learned from God? Had he learned about righteousness and justice? And the answer was yes, he had, because he pleaded for mercy, even for the guilty. Even for the guilty. And the Good Samaritan becomes the example of what mercy is. This is perhaps one of Jesus' greatest illustrations of what merciful looks like. And so the reality of life is that we are regularly confronted with moments when we encounter people who are struggling, who are failing, who are guilty, who are dying, who are in need. We are regularly confronted with this. And the question, and the reality is, we have those same three options when we encounter these folks. We can ignore them, right? We can assume it's somebody else's job to take care of them, or we can show them mercy. And I say we're regularly confronted with it because if we're aware, all around us are children who are hungry. All around us, as Kate and Tom Thorson worked with Faith Community Coalition on foster care, there are foster care children who are desperately in need. Yesterday, the moratorium on evictions ended. There will probably be tens of thousands of families out on the street in the next few weeks. So in front of us, every place we go, if we're willing to look, there are people who are in need of mercy. And so what ought we to do? Now you may be thinking that I'm going to say, show mercy to them all. I wish I could. But the reality is I can't. Why? Because we can't save them all. We can't house every person who will be evicted. We can't help every foster child. We can't feed every person who's hungry. No matter how much I wish we could, we simply can't. So what ought then we to do? My answer is, be open. Be open to those moments when we are put in a position to make mercy a reality. Chances are the Good Samaritan, if he'd been real, didn't help everybody he ever saw. But in that moment, he was open to showing mercy. Abraham didn't plead for the lives of everybody all the time with God. He didn't just hang out with God all the time saying, listen, God, what about these people and these people? But no, in that moment, he was presented with a situation in which mercy was needed, and he showed it. And so I think the challenge for us is to not ultimately always choose options one and two. It's not always choosing to ignore or to say this is somebody else's job, but instead, it's to be open. It's to be open for those moments when God places in front of us an opportunity in which our abilities and our gifts and our prayers can offer mercy to another. And so that's my challenge for all of us for this week, is to ask ourselves, am I being open to showing mercy? Am I open to those moments that God presents me where I am capable of being God's agent of mercy in order to make a difference in someone's life? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you have been merciful to us, that you have shown us mercy again and again and again, that when we have fallen, you have picked us up. When we are withering, you have helped us to flourish. When we are dying, you've given us life. Help us to do the same for others when we find ourselves in that moment of mercy. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.